Welcome to Sellersburg United Methodist Church podcast, where we bring our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world to you, wherever you are.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, he has. And he is. He is risen. We're celebrating the Easter season. It's not just a day. And although we only come together once a week to celebrate it, it is a daily reality. Amen? You just saying amen because I said amen, or are you there? Amen. Good answer, Dwight. I want to tell a story. It's about a woman. She lived in the early 20th century, and she was a simple woman living in New York City. Her husband had passed long ago. She had one son, and so she spent her life taking care of him and working a job, being good to her neighbors, taking care of her home, and collecting paintings. She loved paintings. And if she'd see a painting, she'd buy it, and she'd stack it up, and maybe she'd swap them from the wall, but she acquired quite the collection. When she passed, her son came and was clearing out her house and come to get stuff and take some of it home and doing all the things you do. And he took a huge stack of paintings thinking, well, I don't know anything about these. I'll have someone look at them. He shipped them home. He got them to his house. He took them down into his cellar, and he started stacking them and placing these things aside, thinking, I'll get to these one day. You know how that goes. Anybody got that room? Yeah. So he had these paintings that he had stacked up, and he propped this door open. There was a door in a room in the cellar that the door would always shut, so he just took a stack of paintings and propped them up to help the airflow and, you know, kind of used them as a doorstop. And time went by, and time went by, and good intentions turned into no actions until one day he passed away. And then his children went into the cellar, where they knew there was a vast array of treasures, but they didn't know exactly what the treasures were. As they were pulling things out, they came across these paintings stacked up against the door, and they gave those to the appraiser, and lo and behold, within that collection were three Vincent van Gogh paintings. Yeah. So the children were offered a very good price for them, which they sold them, and then a collector who purchased them then hung them up on the wall, had them fully restored, and allowed at least the people he invited over to see them. So at one time, these paintings were just a work of canvas and oil paint in the hands of a Dutch artist. And then later, they were in a collection, a rotating collection among other paintings. And then later, they were a doorstop. And then they were priceless works of art restored and on display so everyone could see the masterpiece for what they were. So who decides the worth of things? The author, whom we'll call Peter, he offers us a similar understanding about ourselves. Human beings had an original purpose. We were created to be, anybody know? We were created in the image of God. It means we were created to be the image of God. We were given charge of to take care of the earth and everybody in it and all things in it. Good Earth Day theme there. And each other. That was our intention. In our lives, we encounter lots of people we may view as not any particular worth, but some in our lives are priceless. We are priceless to some, and to others, just another person. Or that person that cut them off, and that they don't think very highly of us. Sometimes we get mistreated. Sometimes we're forgotten. Or we're placed aside and serve a role we weren't intended to play, undervalued. This is the story of humanity as the prophets told it. We hear it in the Psalms. Imprisoned. But one day God was going to change all that. That's the message of the prophets. We will eventually see ourselves as priceless works of art created in the image of our Creator. We would be freed from prison, the Psalm says, of thinking that we're anything less than we are. That is a prison. Our bonds will be loosened. Our bonds of ignorance. Our bonds of judgment. Our bonds of injustice. Our bonds of needing to earn our eternal worth for ourselves, so we depend upon ourselves, another prison. The bonds of needing to be right or to defend ourselves, Because these bonds, according to the prophets and according to common sense, they always lead us into the same cycle of division and anger and hatred and resentment and war and violence and bigotry and oppression and destruction, or as a really good word for it, hell. One day we'll be freed to live into our identity, to care for creation and enjoy life as it's meant to be lived. As we see it at the very beginning of our story, don't we? The very beginning, there's the Garden of... Do you know what Eden means? Delight. It's the Garden of Delight. Because when things are as they should be, it's a delightful reality. Maybe you're feeling like things today are a little less than delightful. Maybe you're feeling like things are just getting worse and worse. Maybe you're feeling like there is no hope. Well, my friends, let me tell you something. I'll tell you some good news. Are you ready for the good news? Christ is risen. And that matters in this discussion. Peter describes humanity and our story through the lens of Jesus' resurrection. We've been freed by the work of God in Jesus Christ. We've been purchased from a reality that was misguided, where we were misused, where we were forgotten. And we have been and are being restored to the fullness of the glory intended for us. Let me say that again. We have been and are being restored to what we were intended to be. Peter called the church then, and Peter calls us now to remember this reality. Every one of us has found ourselves, or had found ourselves, in a prison of one form or another, in a different view of ourselves and our world. Amen? Anybody here that has never experienced that? All right, those of you who are in it right now, look around. We've all been there. We all are there in ways. No one here is without the story of being imprisoned and into a distorted reality of who we really are, who everyone else is, and whose we all are. And some of us are still struggling in that prison because we think that some people deserve more dignity than others based on a number of things that we've created. Christ's resurrection means that everyone and everything is different, a new creation. And there is no place or room for despair in the resurrection reality. Amen? Peter says, through Christ we have come to trust in God, who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory, so that our trust and our hope are in God. Our trust and our hope are to be in God, not ourselves, not in our perspective, not other people or their perspectives, not anyone else's judgment or condemnation of us. If we place our trust and our hope in anything else or anyone else, we are like priceless works of art being set against a door to keep it propped open. We are misused. Remember, Peter says, when we remember what God accomplished in the raising up of Jesus Christ, when we know we have been redeemed, purchased, discovered for what we truly are, and in the process of being fully restored, that's what the life of the church is really all about. We see it in each other, don't we? You see in me what I don't see. I see in you what you don't see. We might all, if we were asked to, we could come up with quite a list of self-criticism. Amen? And maybe we'd struggle to come up with a list of affirmation for ourselves. But look at the person next to you. Do you have a list of affirmation for that person? Is it pretty big? Do you have a little tiny list of maybe critical things to say too? Probably. But doesn't it pale in comparison? When we truly embrace the reality of what it is to be the church, when we commit ourselves to each other and have faith that through each other, we're going to come into this reality more and more, we are free from our bonds. But freedom's a process. Having our bonds loosened doesn't necessarily mean we're free. So this is my second image. I want you to picture yourself, close your eyes. You're in a 6x6 prison cell. Maybe you're sitting on the bed across from the door. Can you see it? So if your bonds are loosened, you can stay sitting on that bed. If the door's been kicked down, you can remain in the prison. You can open your eyes now. When you've been in the prison long enough, you stop seeing it as keeping you in, and you start seeing it as keeping other things out, too. There's a protection. There's a comfort. And don't just think of literal prisons. Think of the ones I described earlier. Having our bonds loosened doesn't mean we're ready to get up and walk out the door into true freedom. We can understand Christ's resurrection as kicking in of the prison door. We can understand it, but to get up and walk into the unknown, not knowing where it might take us, well, that's a whole other matter. That takes faith. That takes trust. That takes hope. The world beyond can be frightening when you've come to know your own reality. Peter is urging us, those of us who have had our bonds loosened, to put our trust not in the chains, not on the walls, but in God and the life that lie beyond. Just because we've been redeemed, just because we've had our identity redefined, it doesn't mean we've accepted that yet. Maybe here, maybe not here. So Peter goes on to the most important conclusion. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual affection, love one another deeply from the heart. Love. It always comes back to that. And there might be a part of you in your head that's rolling your eyes. Oh, it's always love. It's always back to love. If you're growing tired of hearing it, I wonder if you've not yet fully accepted it. When you fully embrace the truth, when you've placed your trust in God so that you know it is God who determines your value, when you have trusted God enough to step out beyond those prison walls, trust that God knows what you really need for the fullness in life, it's then that you start to realize how truly loved you are. I didn't know I was loved by my parents when I was younger. I mean, they said it, but they didn't let me do the things I wanted them to let me do. And it's only later that I look back and see how much they really loved. It's like that with God. When you realize it, though, no way you're going back in that prison cell. No way you're going to go back to being a doorstop. No way you're going to go and imprison yourself to yourself or to sin and death. Instead, you're going to do a swan dive out that prison door. You're going to leap fully and joyfully into the arms of God waiting to embrace you and bring you in. Do you know you are loved? That's my question. Do you know it? Know it. Our full display of love is God coming to us in Jesus Christ, who came and told our story in a new way, who came and brought healing to hearts and minds and souls and bodies, who came and faced and embodied our rejection, who suffered at the hands of our sinful pride and our need to be in control, our violence, our death. But he didn't come to condemn us despite all that. He didn't come to respond with resentment. He didn't respond in kind. We are loved. Instead, he prayed for us. He forgave us as we mocked and ridiculed. He called out to us when we weren't wanting to hear. He washed our feet, he kicked in the prison door, he dusted us off, and he is restoring us to the original beauty intended for us, to offer us life, to love us. Because that's what God did through Jesus Christ. That is our trust and hope. That is resurrection. And as people freed, Peter says, we are to go and love in response. Not because we're supposed to. Because when you've come to that place of full realization, the only thing you know to do is love. When you've fully experienced grace, the only thing you know to do is to give it back. Friends, Jesus Christ has freed us and continues to lead us into that freedom. So embrace the full reality. Leave yourselves. Walk the path of restoration. Live in such a way that those who are stuck behind their walls still might see you and see enough in you to think, it is good beyond these walls. Continue to leave your prisons of judgment and condemnation and instead embrace love. Because the truth is, you and everyone in here and everyone out there are beautiful, priceless, and loved images of God. You know how we know that? Christ is risen. Amen.
We thank you for joining us today, and it is our hope that you have experienced the blessing of God through our time together. If you'd like to know more about our church community and its ministries, visit our website at sellersburgumc.com.